So thank you, Rick, for that lovely introduction, and also thanks to April Gonzalez for helping to facilitate this call today. I'm really glad to be joining y'all. I really appreciate the near 100 people we have on the line who have dialed in to understand the latest of what's going on with the flood insurance program. And also just want to specifically thank you all and Ladder and Bloom for your participation in our organization. GNO Inc.'s primary job is to bring business to New Orleans and to grow and recruit companies here. And so part of that, obviously, is bringing employees here. And so, obviously, your work with our organization directly supports our mission, and we hope the work that we do in bringing new companies to New Orleans in turn supports you all as well. You may have read we recently recruited a new technology company, DXC Technology, that's going to be bringing over 2,000 jobs here to New Orleans. So great for economic development, but also hopefully great for home sales in the region as well. So just want to give a specific thank you to Ladder and Bloom for your support of our organization. Y'all are one of the leaders in the region, and particularly for us. So we very much value that partnership and look forward to continuing to work with you all. As you all may be aware, the NFIP is congressionally reauthorized, and it is set to expire tomorrow. It has to be reauthorized by Congress periodically, and tomorrow is the expiration of the program. But as Rick mentioned, the House is actually beginning a vote series right now to reauthorize the program through a continuing resolution. So you may all have heard on the news this week about the potential of a government shutdown. It looks like that's going to be averted through the passage of this legislation that will continue to fund the government and also to extend the National Flood Insurance Program. So it's very important that this bill passes the House and the Senate before COB tomorrow. But a government shutdown in this case, because the NFIP's authorization is tied to the continuing resolution, could mean bad things, both obviously if the government is shut down, but also for the authorization of the NFIP. So it definitely has real-world impacts and real consequences if this doesn't get done. But like I said, I'm very optimistic that it will get passed. I think it's a great sign that the House is voting right now, and the Senate should be able to vote on it either later this evening or tomorrow morning as well to avoid a lapse in the authorization of the program. However, that's only going to take us to December 22nd, which is obviously not very much time, so we'll be facing another need to reauthorize the program very soon. We're waiting on the Senate to act on a long-term reauthorization that will extend the NFIP well beyond December 22nd. In mid-November, the House voted on a compromise package that would have reauthorized the NFIP for 5 years and make a number of changes to the program having to do with how much flood insurance costs, how the mapping process is conducted, how the private market plays a role, and how mitigation is treated. But it does not appear that the Senate is going to take that House package up. That was the package that I testified on back in June, which Rick mentioned as well. And that was a compromise package. It had some very harmful provisions in it, but we were able to scale back through Congressman Scalise's work the most harmful provisions. But it looks like the Senate is going to take up another bill that they have yet to officially release, but that will be a longer-term reauthorization. They have indicated that they want to get to a 5-year reauthorization and that they want to preserve affordability and grandfathering. And I think it's a positive sign that they're going to take up their own version rather than the House version, because the Senate's posture has been much more friendly to the NFIP and the policyholder in general. That the chairman of the committee on the House side just has a fundamental belief against the NFIP and just doesn't think it's the government's role to be in the flood insurance business. So they have tried to implement a lot of policies. You all may remember the Bigger Waters Act back in 2012 that would have really increased premium rates and done a number of changes to the program. So they've tried to put in place a lot of policies that would make it much more difficult to access flood insurance. The Senate is just more friendly to the issue, and they're not looking for this to be a controversial issue. So I'm very optimistic that we're ultimately going to produce a bill that's favorable to policyholders, that preserves affordability, preserves grandfathering, improves how mapping is conducted. I know that's a big issue for local governments. Improves the claims process. Since Hurricane Sandy and also the Baton Rouge floods of last year, there have been a lot of problems with how the claims are being processed and how adjustments are being made. And so these bills will simplify that process and make policyholders have a stronger hand through that negotiation process.
Caitlin, it's Rick. Do you think that will also increase the speed from disaster to receipt of funds for claimants?
Yes. Some of the provisions and some of the claims reforms process speed up the process. They speed up the appeals process if you feel satisfied with it. And they also give property holders a whole lot more rights in terms of being able to select their own adjusters and having stronger rights in the appeals process. But yeah, I think they're also trying to reduce the period of time that it takes to approve a claim and process it as well.
Okay, thanks.
And there are three pieces of legislation that have been introduced in the Senate, but two of the primary bills, one is by Senator Cassidy and one is by Senator Kennedy, and they are both much more favorable to they're very favorable to the NFIP, and like I mentioned, they advance the priorities of affordability, improved mapping, improved mitigation, and a better claims process. So I think what's going to ultimately happen is that the Senate is going to take some of the top policies from each, the Cassidy and the Kennedy bill, and merge those together into a bill that is passed by the Senate Banking Committee and then on to the full Senate. The biggest sticking point that's holding them up that has held them up in the past from coming to an agreement is how to accept private market flood insurance. So there has been an effort to make it easier for lenders in particular to accept private market flood insurance. But I think this is important for you all to be aware as well. And part of something that could become law would make it a whole lot easier for private flood insurance to be accepted by the lender and to meet the requirements for flood insurance coverage in the special flood hazard area. And so that's, like I said, the biggest sticking point about where folks can't come to agreement is how much the private market should play a role. I think folks who are against it are worried that the NFIP could be cherry-picked, where the private market takes the least risky policies and they leave NFIP with nothing but the highest flood risk policies. So they're trying to come to some agreements on how to make sure that that does not happen should the private market come back in. But ultimately, I feel very confident we're going to get a good bill out of the Senate, and it looks like the House will likely accept what the Senate passes. So our big ask to you all is to contact Senators Cassidy and Kennedy and thank them for their work on this issue and urge them to work with the Senate Banking Committee, of which Senator Kennedy is a member, to advance a bill out of the committee very quickly so that the full Senate can act on it before the December 22nd expiration of the bill. That doesn't sound like a whole ton of time, but this is an issue that we have been advocating on for the past several years, but particularly to the 2017 reauthorization. This is something we've been really working on for the past calendar year very intensely. So folks feel very, the issue is not that it's not been studied. I think everyone feels very, aware of the issues on the table, and we just need to come to some agreement. And so I would like to work with you, April, after to also get up on your website a particular call to action, which will be sample language for how to send a message to Senator Cassidy and Senator Kennedy with a specific thank you to them for their work on this issue. Our delegation has been really great on this issue, and a specific ask that they work very diligently to pass something out of the Senate very quickly.
I think that comes in two levels. One is we need to communicate to our agents the contact information and the message, and at least give us some guidelines about, are we asking for the Cassidy bill to be passed, the Kennedy bill to be passed, or it just doesn't matter. We just need something that achieves the goals irrespective of who initiated it. And also, yeah. I'd like to have that, the second level, I'd like to have that on our public-facing websites so our million-plus visitors a month can see that and at least have an opportunity to voice their concern.
That's great. And, we have a system that allows you to simply plug in your address, and it can populate the message and send it to your representative for you just lickety split. So perhaps we can work together to just have that system be something that you all help us push out as well. I think that could be really powerful.
Yep, you got it.
Awesome. And I wanted to just make mention, there is in the House proposal some changes to the, it would require increased disclosure around a property's flood history at the point of sale. So once this bill, once we have a final reauthorization in place where they've made changes to the program, I'd love to come back and do another type of call like this or potentially send out an email to you all. And I'd be happy to just give you the specifics on what's changed. I'm sure y'all do that all anyway, but I'm happy to do that and would be happy to just come back and circle back with how things may impact closings if that would be welcome as well.
The significant challenge would be if it doesn't get reauthorized, then it will disrupt closing. But on a broader discussion of the urgency of the moment, what you have been trying to do is to prevent the rapid rise. If I say anything wrong, just let me know. But you've been trying to prevent, through the lobbying efforts, working with Congress, you've been trying to prevent the rapid rise of the cost of the NFIP program to our NFIP insurance to homeowners. It's absolutely amazing, folks, when we look at what happens when an insurance policy goes from $1,300 or $500 to $5,000 or $1,300 to $13,000, the amount of property value destruction is astronomical. But then when you think, not only is it destroying property value, it's destroying net worth at a much more rapid rate. Let's take a medium-priced home of $240,000 with a mortgage of $180,000. That gross equity of $60,000 can be destroyed overnight if this work fails to keep affordable flood insurance in place. Am I on the right track, Caitlin?
Yes, absolutely. I think you all may remember after Biggert Waters, we had so many examples around the region of homes that had never flooded that were going from $600 a year to over $17,000 a year. And that was due to the combination of the removal of grandfathering and new maps that were being introduced in different parishes that were often faulty and didn't take into account local levee protection and local flood drainage features. And so our primary number one goal has been affordability and preserving grandfathering so that people can build their homes and buy their homes knowing they built to code and did everything they could and price that risk into their house and not see dramatic rate increases if the government thinks that their risk has changed oftentimes too dramatically from what we've seen. And so affordability has been our number one policy priority. We've also advocated this for this reauthorization to include to compel FEMA essentially to use better mapping technology so that people understand their risk and that we're communicating their risk better, that we provide additional resources for mitigation so that homeowners and communities have more money to do things like elevations and wet flood proofing, and then community-type flood protection features. And then we've also tried to advance policies that increase participation in the flood insurance program, which we think brings revenue in line with costs in a more reasonable way than just jacking up premiums on people who are already doing what they're supposed to in buying flood insurance. So we're trying to get more people into the flood insurance program. And I think this past year in particular has really highlighted that flooding can happen anywhere. It's over the last 30 years, we've had a federally declared flood disaster in every state in this country. And so flooding is happening with more frequency and with increased severity. So we simply need more people buying flood insurance, not less, and that's going to give us a more sustainable program over the long run. So with that, I'd like to just first, before we open things up for questions and answers, I wanted to let you all know that our coalition has a regular mailing list. And so if you all would like to be added to the mailing list, shoot me an email, and I'll ask that my email be communicated to you all as well. But it's C as in Charlie, B-E-R-N-I, at gnoinc.org. Just shoot me an email and I will get you added to our list. And then that way you'll receive regular communication from me about the status of the reauthorization legislation and any specific calls to action we have as well. I'm so happy to get you all added to that list as well and look forward to that. But with that, I think we can open things up for Q&A. So I'm going to set the feature on the conference call to open Q&A, and then if you have a question, press star 6, and then 1, it's going to want you to confirm it by pressing 1, and then we'll take questions in the queue that way. So just one moment, we'll open it up for Q&A. Okay, so if you do have a question, please press star 6, and we'll get you in the queue, and look forward to taking any questions folks have. Sometimes it takes about a minute or two for things to populate. Okie dokie. Any questions, folks? If you have a question, press star 6 and then 1. Oh, looks like we've got our first question. And if you do have a question, please go ahead and introduce yourself, just please state your name and where you're calling from. Okay, great. First question.
Hi. This is my this is Sarah Catania. I am a real estate agent with CJ Brown. My question is, how do you plan to implement to attract more people or to reach more people to get flood insurance? What is the plan to do that?
So we have a number of different concepts that we've put forward. One is to structure an opt-out at the point of sale. And I'd love if you all have feedback on this, feel free to connect with me offline. I'd love to hear it. An opt-out at the point of sale rather than an opt-in, so that everyone is automatically offered flood insurance when they purchase a home and they have to actively decline purchasing it. There would be no penalty associated with declining flood insurance, but we think it would be just an easier way to get folks buying into the program and make it just, it's that economic push that we think could get more folks buying in. So Senator Cassidy's legislation actually charges FEMA with coming up with a plan and figuring out how to structure how something like that could work. So we have that as a study in this current legislation to figure that out. And there's also talk of expanding the definition of the special flood hazard area so that more folks. Right now, you have to be, obviously, as you all know, in an A or a V zone to be required to purchase flood insurance, but perhaps expanding that beyond those two designations so that more people are required to purchase it as well. So those are two concepts that we have continued to float out there. I will also mention the concept of national catastrophic insurance that covers earthquakes is a peril as well as flood is something that continues to come up as a concept where we're just, diversifying the risk pool and expanding it beyond. That is something that's probably a step past, obviously, what we're talking about for flood insurance reauthorization, but something that we're researching to see if it's in the realm of possibility as well. But for getting more people in, it would either be structured as an opt-out or as an expansion of the definition of the mandatory purchase requirement.
I don't think, personally, I don't think the problem is with the people who are buying the home and being at the closing, because if they are A or B, the lenders are going to require flood insurance. The problem is reaching the people who have already paid for their homes and they are in flood zone and they do not carry flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They should be required to carry flood insurance. What they are doing, they opt out. At that point, I don't think that it's going to increase people having flood insurance, because most of the people are using a lender and they are going to pay for flood insurance because the lender requires. So that is,
yeah.
It doesn't make any difference that. but it will make a difference to target the people who have already paid for their home and they are in flood zone that are not X. So one thing that I always had a problem with the National Flood Insurance Program is they always say, we are going to attract more people that they never do anything because the things that they do, they have no impact.
I agree with you. I think one of the most alarming statistics I've seen recently is since 2012, there used to be about 5.5 million people who carried flood insurance in the U.S., and now it's down to something like 4.9 million. So, people...
We're not talking about the U.S. We're talking about Louisiana. In Louisiana, the majority of the people do not carry flood insurance. And when there was a tax of 6 cents to do something for flooding, everybody voted no. So, you know, here in Louisiana, if you don't press people to have flood insurance, they will not get it. And that's the way it is. It is what it is. And they should require people to have flood insurance, make it affordable, even if they are in flood zone X.
You know, I would personally agree with you.
And that's
something
that Cassidy and Kennedy should know, and they should push for that, because what they are doing now, it has no impact.
I certainly personally agree with you that we need more people in the flood insurance, and maybe that's something we can, you know, talk to Commissioner Donnellan about in the legislature about potentially requiring it at the state level, that everyone carries it as well. So I certainly appreciate your comments, and I share your sentiments as well. I think we've got to be doing more to get folks in.
Thank you so much for talking about these issues and allowing me to ask the question and voice my concern. I appreciate you very, very much and all the people who are working in the government with this issue.
Thank you so much. And we don't have any more questions in the queue. If anybody else has a question, please press *6. And then 1, and I'd be happy to take it. If not, I am happy to adjourn the call this afternoon, but I will just make one last question if folks have have questions. Oh, we've got another question. Oh, Bill Segrek, let's see. Next question?
Hey, Caitlin, it's not really a question but a comment. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get the name of the person who just had that comment. I just want to give you an example of something, though. She is absolutely right. The homeowner population at large, as well as the commercial property owner population at large, needs to have a compelling reason to be insuring themselves. She's right. But I'll tell you, there's an old saying, be the change you want to see in the world. We have an opportunity to influence 17,000 home purchase transactions. Just to be a vocal, vocal about the need and tell the story, it's a very small amount of money to buy flood insurance compared to the risk. And when you see the Baton Rouge floods with 500,000-year floods happening, well, those folks, of course, 90% of them didn't have flood insurance. But I would also venture to say that no one told them the right story and gave them a fair opportunity to buy it anyway. We can't move the mountain, but we can certainly chip away at our client base and people we've sold homes to. So one of the methods might be to go back and give some advice that they should investigate flood insurance, even if they aren't in a floodplain. There's a lot of people, if we're doing 17,000 a year, there's a lot of people we can influence in the right direction.
Yep, I agree with that. I agree, Rick. Thanks so much for that. I don't see any additional questions in the queue, so I think that is a signal that we can adjourn for the day, but I really just want to say thank you all so much for allowing me to come and speak with you all today. I look forward to providing another update once the final bill has been passed, and just want to especially thank Rick and all of Ladder and Broom for making sure that and giving you all this opportunity to make sure y'all are informed and that your clients can make the best decisions possible. So I really appreciate that. Rick, I don't know if you have anything else you want to say, but just want to say thank you again.
Nope, I'm good, Caitlin. Thank you. Thank Greater New Orleans, Inc. for the great work you're doing to make sure this thing happens and happens in a way that is affordable for homeowners across the state and the country.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great evening and stay warm.
Q&A session is over.